نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما. سورة الرعد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم را. تلك آيات الكتاب. والذي أنزل إليك من ربك الحق ولكن أكثر الناس لا يؤمنون. الله الذي رفع السماوات بغير عمد ترونها ثم استوى على العرش وسخر الشمس والقمر كل يجري لأجل مسمى يدبر الأمر يفصل الآيات لعلكم بلقاء ربكم توقنون. ألف لام ميم را. These are the verses of the book, and that which has been revealed to you from your Lord is the truth. But most men do not believe. Allah is He who raised the heavens without any pillars that you can see. Then He rose above the throne. He has subjected the sun and the moon, each running for a term appointed. He manages and regulates all affairs. He explains the signs in detail that you may believe with certainty in the meeting with your Lord. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts this surah by huruf al-muqatta'at. As has been mentioned earlier, although there have been different theories advanced as to the true meaning of these letters, some say that they represent Allah's different names, and people have different theories. The truth of the matter is that we do not know, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not tell us. So right in the beginning of this surah, Allah reminds us, مَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. As Allah says elsewhere in the Quran, you have been given but little of knowledge. Tilka ayatul kitab, these are the verses of al-kitab. Allah again and again repeats this ayat. Why? To inculcate reverence in our hearts for this Quran. This Quran that we treat as magic words, as a talisman. Something to read if I'm going to have a child. Something to read if I'm having financial problems. Something to read if someone's died. And that's it. Allah says, Tilka ayatul kitab. These are the verses of al-kitab, written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That which has been revealed to you, min rabbika, from your Lord. Now whenever Allah says rabbika, it's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking directly to each one of us. That this book has been sent for us, for all of us, individually, as a gift of great love. And Allah says, al-haq. This is the only book, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. The only book of which it can be said, there is no doubt in it. Why does Allah keep on stressing the truth of the Quran? Before we can accept something, before we can utilize something, we need to be sure that it is correct. For instance, there's a glass of water lying before you, and you're not sure whether that glass of water has been boiled or not. Now, even if you drink that water, in your heart, there will be that doubt. And you won't be able to enjoy that drink because you'll be wondering, I wonder whether it was boiled or not. I wonder what if this water makes me sick. So again and again Allah repeats that you need to have yaqeen, that everything, every letter in this book is the truth, is for our own good. Only then will we be able to benefit it. Otherwise, why are Muslims nowadays not acting upon the Quran? We all know the Quran is from Allah. Why is it that we've selected portions of the Quran to obey and portions to disobey? The fact of the matter is, in our heart of hearts, we don't have yaqeen. We don't truly believe that if we were to follow this Quran, it would enhance our life in this world and the next. And that's the only reason, as Allah tells us in the Quran, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ. Do you believe in part of the book? وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Do you reject part of the book? In other words, when we select portions of the Quran to act upon, portions which suit our convenience, portions which we find easy to obey, and we discard or we ignore those portions of the Quran which we find difficult to obey, this is what we're doing in fact, rejecting part of the book and accepting part of it. Allah says, Al-Haqqu min Rabbik. All of it is the truth. You can't just select portions. All of this book is the truth from your Lord. But what is the sad reality? Aksara an-nasi la yu'minun. Most people just don't have iman. It is Allah who raised the heavens without any pillars that you can see. Then He rose above the throne. He has subjected the sun and the moon, each running for a term appointed. يفصل الآيات. He explains the signs in detail. What is the link between ayat 1 and 2? 1 minute Allah speaking of the Quran, the next minute Allah speaking of the glories of His universe. See, Allah is reminding us that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create such a magnificent universe, a universe that is running with all its complexities in such perfect harmony and discipline, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone could have come up with a book like this Quran. If Allah has created benefits for our worldly life, Allah alone could have devised benefits for our spiritual life. He explains the signs in detail. لَعَلَّكُمْ بِلِقَاءِ رَبِّكُمْ تُوقِنُونَ. In order that you get yaqeen. People don't understand the need to study the Quran in detail. They say, oh, we've heard the Quran, we know what's in it. Why do we need to study the Quran in detail? Why do we need to analyze each word of the Quran so we get this yaqeen? Look at the words of the ayat. He explains the signs in detail that you may believe with certainty in the meeting with your Lord. Only in-depth analysis of this book will grant us that yaqeen. And it is Allah who spread out the earth and placed therein firm mountains and rivers, and of every kind of fruits. He made two pairs. He brings the night as a cover over the day. This universe of contrast, darkness and light, night and day, different kinds of pairs. Indeed, in all these things are signs. لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. For a people who reflect. In other words, Islam is not simply that we read the Quran day in, day out and don't reflect upon the glories of the universe. What did Allah tell us in Surah Ali Imran? إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and in the alternation of night and day are signs for a people of depth. Who are they? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قَيَامًا وَقَعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Those who remember Allah standing and sitting and lying upon their sides. And then they call out, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. O our Lord, O our Creator, You have not created this in vain. When the mu'min studies the universe, when he sees how nothing is wasting its time, he becomes acutely aware of the precious moments in his life. He becomes acutely conscious of the time that he has wasted. So he calls out, سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Glory be to You, Allah. Save us from the torment of the fire. Forgive us for all those moments we wasted on other things. Allah says there are signs for a people who reflect. Not just superficial glances or superficial reading of the Quran and we think we fulfilled our duty. No, we need to reflect upon this Quran. And in the earth are neighboring tracts and gardens of vines and green crops and date palms growing into two or three from a single stem root, or otherwise watered with the same water. Yet some of them we make more excellent than others to eat. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. Indeed, in these things are signs for people who use their intellect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, observe the beauty of the universe that He has created. All these crops being watered with the same water, yet some of them are more excellent than others to eat. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. And Allah tells us, only people who use their intellect can understand. As we can see, Islam is the name of logic, of using your intellect, and using your intellect to get closer to your Creator. That is Islam. And that's why in the golden days of Islam, the early Muslims were the ones who were pioneers of science. They were pioneers of medicine, because they were people, yaqilun, who used their intellect. وَإِن تَعْجَبْ فَعَجَبٌ قَوْلُهُمْ. And if you wonder, then wondrous is their saying, when we are dust, shall we then indeed be raised in new creation? People who doubt the day of judgment, people who say, well, who's ever seen the day of judgment? Who's ever seen resurrection? How can that be? If someone's died in a bomb blast, and how's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to resurrect that person? Allah says, they are those who disbelieved in their Lord. They are those who will have iron chains tying their hands to their necks. They are those who are the dwellers of the fire. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They will live therein forever. People who mock the day of judgment, who mock the concept of resurrection, who mock the concept of accountability, Allah says they will live in the fire forever. They ask you to hasten the evil before the good. Meccans were always calling out to the Prophet, "All right, so when is this famous day of judgment going to come?" And nowadays also we hear people making foolish statements like, "Well, if Allah is going to punish the sinners, why is it that the sinners are prospering? And if I'm disobeying Allah, if I'm doing something wrong by not praying, how come things are going so smoothly for me? Why doesn't Allah punish me then?" Allah says, look at these people. They ask you to hasten the evil before the good, while exemplary punishments have indeed occurred before them. But indeed your Lord is full of forgiveness for mankind in spite of their wrongdoing. Can we even count the number of times we disobey Allah in a day? We disobey Allah, we utter that white lie, we utter that gossipy statement. We look at things which we're not supposed to be looking at. We listen to things we're not supposed to be listening at. And we forget the next minute. Allah says, your Lord is full of forgiveness for mankind. Again and again He gives us chances to return to Him. In spite of their wrongdoing, وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَشَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. And indeed your Lord is also severe in punishment. This is the balanced vision of Islam. Not that we sit back relying upon Allah's love and do what we like to anger Him. Oh, Allah is full of love, Allah is going to forgive me. And also not that we spend our lives in fear and just think of Allah as this wrathful God. Remember when Allah told us, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I am according to my slave's concept of me. We find that the mu'min wavers between fear of Allah's anger and hope for Allah's mercy. And that is the balanced vision of Islam. The disbelievers say, why is not a sign sent down to him from his Lord? إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنذِرٌ. You are only a warner. You're not someone who's supposed to show people cheap miracles. You are only a warner, and for every people there is a guide. Allah knows what every female bears, and by how much the wombs fall short or exceed. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارٍ. Everything with him is in due proportion. All know of the unseen and the seen, the most great, the most high. Even we, with our instruments that we've invented nowadays, we've invented the ultrasound. But no doctor spends the 9 months that a woman spends in pregnancy the whole time, you know, that he's examining the child. It's just on for a few minutes, he gets to see what the baby's position is like. Allah says, Allah knows what every female bears. هُوَ الزَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. He is the obvious and the hidden. His vision is perceiving that unborn child all the time. Why is it that there are still children who are born dead and the doctors say there was no reason for this child to have died? Because this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. Inna nahnu nuhyi wa numeet. It is Allah who gives life, Allah who causes death. Modern 20th century man has not been able to achieve this, despite all his technological advancements. All know of the unseen and the seen, the most great, the most high. It is the same to him. Whether any of you conceal his speech, or declare it openly, whether he be hid by night or goes forth freely by day. For him there are angels in succession, before and behind him. They guard him by the command of Allah. We learn from a hadith that at Fajr time and Asr time, the angels are changed. And then the angels who have been with us return to Allah and they are replaced by a different contingent of angels. Now when the angels who have been with us return to Allah, at Fajr time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked them, in what condition did you leave my slave? Now we can think about what it is that we are doing at Fajr time. Are we remembering Allah in prayer? Or are we busy sleeping thinking, oh, I'll read qaza when I wake up later on? And at Asr time, again the angels are changed. And when they return to Allah and Allah asks them, which is not to say Allah doesn't know, He does know. But He asked them, in what condition did you leave my slave? And we can think about what we are doing at Asr time. Indeed, Allah will not change the condition of a people as long as they do not change their state themselves. Muslims nowadays complain, where is Allah? Why doesn't Allah care? Look at the Muslims suffering all over the world. Allah says, I'm not going to change your condition until you change yourself. We have to take that first step. But when Allah wills a people's punishment, there can be no turning back of it. And they will find beside him no protector. هُوَ الَّذِي يُرِيكُمُ الْبَرْقَ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. It is Allah who shows you the lightning as a fear and as a hope. And it is He who originates the clouds that are heavy with water. We should read this ayat upon seeing lightning. And there's another dua which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Allahumma la taqtulna bi ghadabik. O Allah, do not kill us by your anger. Wa la tuhlikna bi adhabik. And do not punish us or do not destroy us by your punishment. Wa afina. And grant us health and well-being. Really, this ayat is one that inculcates reverence in our hearts when we see acts like lightning or we hear the thunderbolts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't just be so engrossed in your superficial life that you forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُصَبِّحُ الرَّعْدُ بِحَمْدِهِ. The thunder glorifies Allah. So do the angels because of His awe. He sends the thunderbolts and therewith He strikes whom He wills. Still they dispute about Allah? Allah tells us elsewhere in the Quran, إِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَحُونَ تَصْبِيحَهُمْ. Everything is glorifying Allah, but you do not understand their praise. It's just man. See, elsewhere in the Quran, Allah tells us that everything in creation is bowing down before Allah. And Allah says, and many of mankind. In other words, it's only man who has the temerity to disobey Allah, to still be arguing about Allah, despite the proofs he sees before his eyes of Allah's power, of Allah's immense glory. Man is the only being who has the temerity and the arrogance to stand up and say, well, I don't think Allah is going to ask me about something like prayers. Still they dispute about Allah? وَهُوَ شَدِيدُ الْمِحَالِ. And He is mighty in strength and severe in punishment. لَهُ دَعْوَةُ الْحَقِّ. For Allah alone is the word of truth. And those whom they call to answer them no more than one who stretches forth his hand for water to reach his mouth, but it does not reach him. وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ. The dua of the disbelievers is nothing but an error. This is a beautiful ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that Allah alone is the one who answers our duas. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we ask for help. Now what about people who say, well, you know, we don't pray to them, but we're asking them to have our du'as accepted by Allah. As elsewhere in the Quran, Allah tells us these people say, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. We're not worshipping them. We want them to bring us closer to Allah. We're using them as a wasila. People who go to mazars or who go to peers or buzurgs or pray to Hazrat Ali. So no, we're not praying to them. We're simply asking them to have our du'as accepted by Allah. Now listen to what Allah says. وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ. All those beings, whether angels or jinns or prophets or buzurgs or peers or scholars, dead or alive. وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ. Everyone else other than Allah comes in this. لَا يَسْتَجِيبُونَ لَهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ. Do not answer them at all. إِلَّا كَبَاسِطِ كَفَّيْهِ إِلَى الْمَاءِ. Except like one who stretches forth his hand. Now if there's water falling down and I have my hands outstretched like this, how much water am I going to hold? Nothing at all. It's all going to trickle through my fingers because my fingers are open. If I want to hold the water, I'll have to cup my hands together. But if I have my hands stretched like this, what water am I going to retain? Allah says, when you call to anyone other than Allah, this is what you're doing. You think you're getting something, but in reality you're getting nothing. We can understand it by a simple everyday example. I write a letter to my friend. I ask my friend to help me out. And then I post the letter, but to the wrong address. Or I send the letter, and I don't put the stamp on it. I don't bother to buy the stamp. Or I forget to post the letter altogether. Now I've written the letter, I have asked my friend for help, but since my friend never received the letter, how is she going to help me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can hear every word we utter, but if we're calling to someone other than Allah, why should He respond? And sometimes Allah responds to test us. Like someone I knew once came up and said, you know, we weren't having a child, and then we went to the mazar and we prayed, and the very next day my wife conceived. And you start thinking, yes, maybe that's a sign from Allah. Actually, it's Allah's testing our iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, لَهُ دَعْوَةُ الْحَقِّ. Allah alone answers your du'as. And Allah is simply testing our iman. Those whom they invoke answer them no more than one who stretches forth his hand for water to reach his mouth, but it does not reach him. What would we say if we saw someone standing like this trying to catch water? We'd say, are you mad? Don't you even know how to catch water in your hands? Allah says, وَمَا دُعَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ. The dua of the disbelievers is nothing but an error. Now we need to understand this word dalal here. It's a very crucial word. Dalal is when you're aiming an arrow at the wrong target. When you're sending off arrows blindly, without aiming at the target, what's going to happen? The target is in front of me and I'm sending my arrow behind me. Is the arrow going to reach the target? Never. Allah reminds us, to Allah falls in prostration, whoever is in the heavens and the earth, willingly or unwillingly. Now let's analyze our own prayers. When we pray, is it with joy? Is it with love? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, جُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ أَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. My heart's ease has been made in salah. Salat is my heart's delight. Is there any amongst us who could make such a claim? That we were to approach salat with joy, with love? What is salat? Salat is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling us with love, with tenderness. Like a mother calls her child when he comes home tired from school, come here, let me wash you, let me sit you in my lap, tell me what you did today. That is Allah calling us in salat. 5 times a day, Allah tells us to get up, purify ourselves, to ease that fatigue we are feeling in body and spirit. Allah says, willingly or unwillingly. Now we can all think for ourselves. And so do their shadows in the mornings and in the afternoons. Pull, ask these people, مَرَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Who is the Lord of the heavens and the earth? Say, it is Allah. Say, have you then taken for worship protectors other than Allah, who can neither benefit you nor harm themselves? Say, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرِ. Is the blind equal to the one who sees? If there's a blind man standing before you and one who can see, you won't ask the blind man to describe the landscape. Even if the blind man has made a study of the topography of the landscape, you won't ask him to describe it. You'll ask the one who can see. Allah says, one who calls to Allah and one who calls to others than Allah, the difference is this difference between that of sight and blindness. أَمْ هَلْ تَسْتَوِي الظُّلُمَاتُ وَالنُّورِ. Or is darkness equal to light? People who call to others than Allah, whether they are peers or they are angels or they are jinns, spend their lives in confusion and uncertainty, seeking a multitude of gods and pleasing none. Can darkness be equal to light? Remember the ayat in Surah Baqarah? Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu. Allah is the friend of those who believe. Yukhrijuhum min az-zulumati ila an-nur. He brings them from darknesses into light. La ilaha illallah gives us calmness and strength. And shirk means chaos, confusion and fear. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتِ يُخْرِجُونَهُم مِّنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. Those who disbelieve, those who disobey Allah, their friends are taghut. Who are taghut? All those people or beings who stop us from obeying Allah. And our own nafs can be taghut as well, when I'm following my own desires rather than following Allah's book. يُخْرِجُونَهُم مِّنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. They bring them out from light into darknesses. Now we can think for ourselves. What do we want for ourselves? Light or darkness? The choice is ours. Or do they assign to Allah partners who created the like of His creation? Has anyone ever created another human being? Even for cloning, they need a human cell. They can't do it on their own. So that the creation seemed alike to them. قُلِ اللَّهُ خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارِ. Say, Allah is the creator of all things, and He is the One, the Supreme. Look at the beauty of the words Allah uses in the Quran. Why doesn't Allah say Al-Ghafoor Ar-Rahim over here? That's our favorite title for Allah. Oh, Allah won't ask you about this. Allah is Ghafoor Ar-Rahim. What is Allah telling us here? الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارِ. The One. In other words, Maliki Yawmiddin, Master of the Day of Judgment. No one else to save us that day. القهار the supreme with the power to punish us